What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we are Black Married Today Free. I mean, you probably already know that, or you wouldn't have clicked on the podcast, but we're super excited to be here today. And Shira, how are you doing? Let's talk about how you are first before we get into things.
I'm doing good. You know, things are busy, but I think most of us are living busy lives, and that is becoming the norm. But glad for this upcoming weekend, hoping to get some rest in. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Like how you said, it's a very busy week. Coming off a busy week last week, a busy week this week, and a busy week next week, or was scheduled to be for myself. But
we'll share the drama later.
Yeah, we'll share the drama with you all later.
Okay.
Yes. But all is well. Hopefully everyone out there in podcast land and Instagram, since we are streaming this live on Instagram, hopefully you all are well. But Shire, I want to get into the layered celebration of this week. For us, it's very layered. And for many people that look like us, it is as well. So what's coming up this weekend?
This weekend.
Juneteenth.
And Juneteenth is a special time for us for a lot of reasons. And one being, it looks like Juneteenth is going to be signed into law as a national holiday, a national federal holiday, which is wonderful. So Juneteenth commemorates the end of slavery in the U.S. It turns out that the last enslaved Black person or people in Texas, I mean, they learned that they were free on June 19th, and they were the last to hear. And that was in 1865. And that was 2 months after the Civil War's end, and also 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln had signed the Emancipation Proclamation. So yes. I'm excited that it is going to be signed into law, I believe, today, because we're, you know, streaming on a Thursday. But it's about time.
It's about time. You know, this is kind of like, it's weird, Shire, because last year, think about last year this time. I know we talked about this. We had everything was bubbling with George Floyd and, you know, all the civil unrest and everything. And, you know, like this was a huge topic. And it was around this time, like we were walking through our neighborhood and people were like putting their flags out, the 4th of July stuff. Everybody was getting prepared for 4th of July. And, you know, last year it really hit home for me. That's like, you know what? My Independence Day is Juneteenth, man. That's when I want to celebrate Independence Day. I got love for the July 4th and what that represents and all that. But, you know, I'm going to put extra emphasis on Juneteenth going forward, you know. And I feel like a lot of people in our community are doing that. And it's obviously bubbling over nationwide if they're going to be voting that in, you know, as a holiday. And I think it's about darn time.
Yeah, I agree. And having Juneteenth as a federal holiday acknowledges that we were a nation with slaves.
Yes.
It's almost like it didn't exist. Like it didn't happen. Like, you know, here we are, it's 2021 with slavery. I mean, we're past that. And it's like, no, we're not actually.
Right.
And so I hope that this being signed into law as a federal holiday is a part of the catalyst to really get the federal government thinking about the implications of slavery. Mm-hmm. Can we put reparations on the table? I mean, can we have the discussion now that we're acknowledging that it actually happened?
Right.
I mean, what do you think about that?
Whoo, Shire, this is when it gets interesting. When you talk about the reparations and you talk about the monetary acknowledgement of slavery, right? How can you right the wrong of slavery and what it's called and the ripple effect of slavery? I personally like the idea of some type of reparation. I don't know how it should look, and I guess we can talk through that. But yeah, I think something needs to be done. There needs to be some formal acknowledgement or some fiscal acknowledgement of what happened with slavery, because until we get that, me and you talk about this quite often, that, you know, we can be enlightened and we can be, you know, woke and know that we have to do different things financially. But if the playing field, if the surface of the field that we're all playing on isn't level, we'll never be able to be at our fullest potential. We may be at a high potential, but we want to be at the maximum potential. And I think in a lot of cases, we need the government to acknowledge, hey, we need to get this field that they're playing on. We need to get that thing level. Let's mow that grass so that all players can be at their optimum level. What do you think about that, Shira?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think that we need, when we talk about reparations, sometimes people think we're looking for a handout. We're
thinking about handout.
We're not talking about a handout.
No.
We're talking about the government being equitable.
Equitable, Shire. Break down that word, equitable.
It just means
equal, right?
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah, a lot of the societal issues, the systemic issues, the government had its hands all in it. Mm-hmm. And so they need to be a part of the solution.
Correct.
And I don't want, you know, I don't want people, black people, to feel like I can't do the things that I want to do because I'm a descendant of slaves.
Right,
you know,
right.
I don't think that's the case. I think I'm glad that we live in America. In America, we can move upward. What I'm trying to say is upward mobility exists in the United States.
Correct.
And in some countries, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You just are where you are.
Yeah.
So it's not that I don't love the United States of America. This is our country. We mm-hmm. built this country. You know, but I would like the government to explore righting some of their wrongs.
Yes.
But in the meantime, you know, we're going to keep striving and we're going to keep doing what we do. Right. Because we are, I mean, we're some of the most resilient people on the planet, period.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. And we've shown that. We've shown that through the centuries, our resiliency. So, Shire, let's talk about if there were reparations, what would be the best way to distribute that? What are some options for the reparation for the descendants of slaves or African Americans?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times when people hear reparations, they think about cash, mm-hmm. money, mm-hmm. right? And so, I mean, let's just imagine for a moment that everyone received cash.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I don't love the idea of cash because go ahead, Shire.
Imagine. Okay, but go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying on the surface, I'm more into some type of subsidy, but I think cash is sketchy because all the government is going to do is just print cash. It's not like they have a real currency that's like in a safe somewhere. It's like, yeah, for a rainy day, like all they would do is just print more cash and give it to us. And then what would that do? We would see the ripple effects of that in our economy with all this inflation and stuff.
Right. So that's twofold. So yeah. Say they didn't. I mean, we don't know that they would print the cash, but say they did print the cash. And so then that had even greater effect on the inflation that we're seeing now. Mm-hmm. And when we received the money, what would folks do with it? I mean, a lot of people are already experiencing financial hardship. Would that money then go to a landlord? Would that money then go to, you know, a Visa, MasterCard?
Right.
Would that money just go to the local mall? You know, hey, we're losing malls. But, you know, so I don't know that cash
would be best.
That's why I said imagine, but I like that other layer that you brought in.
Yeah.
That, I mean, what if they printed this cash and how would that, you know? But anywho, I was checking out an article and it was on Yahoo Finance. And it says building black wealth starts with reparations and home ownership, says the Spelman economist. So definitely check that out. And she goes through some of the options for reparations that are not cash.
Okay.
So some of the things that were mentioned had to do with incentives for folks that are participating in investing activities in real estate markets. And then also looking at educational credits, because we know that a lot of people of color are saddled with student loan debt.
Right.
And also looking at health credits and enterprise credits for business owners. So these were things that the economists mentioned. And so what do you think about that? Just make in lowering the barrier to entry to buy a home.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I mean, I think essentially we need to address what was done to African Americans with redlining. We need to somehow right that wrong. And I don't know what that looks like, but I do like the idea of that. Now, Shire, I always get a little sketchy though, because like with the PPE and the all of these stimulus things, a lot of times they have these programs, and we talk about this, how they'll put money in place and they'll say, all you have to do is fill this out, or you have to do this and do that, and you can get this subsidy. But a lot of times for African Americans, we just like, man, I don't know how to do all that. So
there's barriers.
Yeah, there's barriers with it. And so that what scares me about the subsidy thing is like, you really have to be tapped in and you really have to be dialed in and know how to go get that money. Because what's the thing we always hear with going to colleges and stuff? There's money out there. There's money out there. Mm-hmm. But I know when I was in high school, I was like, well, how do I get to it? You know, some people just won't do the extra work to go and make themselves available for these subsidies. So that's what scares me. It's just like, will this money just be floating in Wonderland and African Americans not know in mass, not know how to go get it?
Right.
So.
Right. I mean, that was even happening with the stimulus check.
Exactly.
So people that were unhoused or homeless.
Right.
Not necessarily knowing how to access that benefit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that is certainly a challenge. I mean, this is all hypothetical as we talk through it.
Yeah.
You know, but do something.
Got to do something.
Do something. Give a formal apology.
Yeah.
I mean, it is questionable as to whether or not the government has actually have done that.
Yeah.
But I think that this is definitely a step in the right direction. And I hope that positive things will come from it. Things that are beyond just a day off.
Right.
And I think in the meantime, in between time, we do what we can to uplift each other.
Right.
And not, you know, I don't think that there's a way to undo some of the harm, some of the like redlining. It's just like if you're ever, if you're hurt in an accident, you know, and say you need stitches. Okay, we can seal up the wound. But I can still see the remnants of a scar, right. No matter how much cocoa butter you put on it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, so as a people and as individuals, we have to find ways to deal with generational trauma.
Right.
And I hope the government will put forth some solution, but they're not going to put forth the entire solution. I think it was a quote by, it could have been Einstein or somebody, that says that problems cannot be solved in the context in which they were created, which means if the government created the problem in the first place, they might not be the one to bring forth
the solution.
The solution to the overall issue.
Let's talk about that, Shire. Let's dig into that piece, because we have a somewhat of a conflict that goes on in our community when you have a section of the community that says they're not going to save us. Stop waiting on people to save us. You got to do X, Y, and Z for yourself. And then you have those who say, no, you know, the government does need to acknowledge and does need to make things right. And, you know, oftentimes me and you fall somewhere in the middle. But let's talk about that part. What are your thoughts on that? Because my thought is this: for those who say we can't wait on them to save us, we got to do for ourselves. We got to build wealth for ourselves. We have to acquire the knowledge for ourselves. We have to be our own resolution, right? I agree with that. But my thing that I'm realizing the more research I do is that although Marcus may come to the knowledge that I have to do more to get more, and I can't wait for someone to give me a handout, I also understand that with the same effort that I put in as Marcus, perhaps a gentleman named Michael, who doesn't share my complexion, doing the same amount of work, may have a better outcome. Not that my outcome is bad, but his outcome may be better simply because of his skin color. And I think that we can't be ignorant to that and act like that's not a thing. And that makes me frustrated, just knowing that, wow, that's real. That's a reality. What do you say to that, Shia?
You know I have something to say to that.
Come on.
I kind of find that thinking problematic.
Okay.
Because Michael is a fictitious, like, I'm going off your example. So Michael is actually a fictitious person.
Right. But we know who Michael
and,
is.
And so if Michael is a fictitious person, and I'm sorry to all the Michaels out there. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate you, Mike.
But I have to counter or I need to add this piece of the conversation. How does it serve you, or how does it serve a person who's thinking somebody's could be doing what I'm doing, but they're doing better? I mean, that's always the case. I mean, I might be trying to eat better, but someone else is eating what I'm eating. They're losing weight and I'm not.
Right.
You know, so looking at things as I'm black and I'm doing these things, but if I was white and I was doing these things, I could be better off. That may be true. So that may be true, but ultimately, how is it serving us? And are we re-traumatizing ourselves by thinking that? And are we adding to the limited, our own limiting beliefs? I don't care about what Michael's doing, but you go ahead and do your thing, Michael, if you listen to this podcast. But does it serve a person to have their eyes on someone else?
Well, let's talk about it, Shia. We've seen countless studies where...
Okay, I have another piece too, but go ahead.
Where Marcus puts in an app, Marcus with a master's degree, puts in for a director position, and Michael with a master's degree puts in for the same director's position. And just because of the name alone, Marcus is, his application is thrown out and Michael's isn't. We've seen the studies done about that. So yeah, I can go through life, and kind of try to block that out. But the reality is that I'm reminded of that, you know, on occasion. So it's kind of hard to block that out. It's like an individual who is suffering from an illness, but they say, well, I can't think about it. If I don't think about the illness, then I'll be okay. It's like, yeah, but at some point that illness is going to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, remember me? You know, so that's kind of all I'm saying.
Right. And I hear what you're saying. And I think that there are a lot of people that will agree with you. I agree with you. The other point is focusing on what is within your locus of control.
Yes.
If I put in an application, I have an ethnic name. Okay. And if I don't get a call back, that is outside of my locus of control.
I like that.
You know
I
what
like
I'm saying? That, so yeah. Focus on what you control can what you can control. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there might be other things that I'm thinking about as I prepare for this interview. And I know that we did a podcast with Minda Hartz, and she wrote a book about women of color getting ahead and what you need to do in order to get ahead. And yes, she said some things in her book that some folks might find controversial, because a lot of times we just want to show up and just be us. But when you are going into the marketplace, you might have to make, you know, some adaptations for reasons that are the core of this discussion.
Right.
You know, so I understand what you're saying, but also think about what is in your locus of control. What can you do? And it could turn out that if they didn't hire you because of your name, that could be an organization that's not worthy of your time. That's not worthy of the value that you would bring. It's their loss. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I mean,
that's good.
We can't right every wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't know what to do about that, you know?
Yeah.
But then the other piece was the government. Does the government owe us? And I'm quick to say yes, because who is the government? You know, I think about we the people. So we fund the government. You're mm-hmm. taking money out my check every month.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's something to consider as well, is that we're not asking anything from an entity that we don't contribute to.
Right.
Oh, we give
right,
a lot.
Right.
We give a lot.
And we've given a lot, right?
And we have given a lot.
Yes,
yes. You're absolutely right about that.
And that's where I stand. So the request for governmental acknowledgement is not because I want a handout. Because, oh, Marky Mark, oh, I'm going to be all right. You know, right. I don't need nothing. But I also am a contributor to this entity. And I think because I am a... what do they call it when you're
a shareholder?
I'm a shareholder.
Come on.
So I'm due my dividends, and don't, just because I don't need the dividend doesn't mean I don't want the dividend. Like that's irrelevant. And I think a lot of times we want to stick our chest out and say, I don't need them. We don't need them. We could do X, Y, and Z for ourselves. And yes, we can, but they still need to be held accountable. We talk about this, Shire. We've been blessed with our real estate portfolio that, we had conversations on during the pandemic. Do we want to give our renters a month break? Do we want to preemptively give them a break? And why were we having that conversation? Because we technically didn't, we could do without, right? But just because we can do without doesn't mean I'm going to do without. No, if you got the money to pay me the rent that you owe me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take that. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to put that out there because
and it's not that we're cruel.
It's not that we're cruel.
And it's not, we're not rich.
We're not rich.
We're not retired yet.
We're not retired yet.
Right.
But I think a lot of times we there's a pride there that I don't need the government. I don't need that, you know. And you're correct. You don't technically need the government, but there's someone who does.
Right. And don't
there's someone who shares your complexion who right. does. Sorry, Shar.
Yeah, yeah. And don't separate yourself from the government. We pay into it every single month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. I don't know, Marcus. I mean,
it's a good little conversation here, Shar.
And you know, I feel like we go back and forth on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And as you know, as we parent, you know, how we frame some of these conversations are becoming increasingly important as our kids
older.
Get older. You know, so it's like, what message do I want to impart into my child? What is going to serve them the most as they learn how to navigate through the classroom and through the workforce, you know? So I think it's these conversations are important.
That's a good point, Shira. And before we take off to that point, a lot of times activism and wealth don't really go hand in hand. Now there's still some debate whether as to what Martin Luther King, although he was an activist, a civil rights activist, the consensus is Martin had a little money, but like people like Malcolm X and others were heavy in activism, but that didn't equate necessarily to wealth. So you have to, it's like almost like you said with our children, it's like, do I want you to be more woke and an activist, or do I want you to be wealthy? And can there be a middle ground for both? You know, what do you think about that, Shar?
I definitely think there's a middle ground. And the truth of the matter is that Martin and Malcolm, I mean, they were gone at our age.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, and it's like, you know, not putting the cart before the horse, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can imagine the conversations, the pressure in trying to prioritize all of these different issues that impact our culture, our race, you know? So yeah. I think that had, you know, give them a few more years,
right.
I think a lot of these things, they would have, you know, we would have seen some progress on, you know, those items.
Absolutely. Well...
Well, we didn't get to the drama. We never said the drama because we said there was some drama.
What was the drama?
Oh, you said, well, like we about to close.
Okay, no, let's get to the drama.
Someone's waiting for the drama?
Yeah, let's get to it.
Okay, so this is off topic.
Yes.
But to fill you all in on the drama, This is your drama, so.
Oh, yeah. So we're in escrow on our fourth rental, and it's out of state, of course. And we were set to close on the 21st, and I had scheduled I was going to just travel this time by myself. Usually me and Shire like to travel together. If you've seen our YouTube video vlogs of us buying all three of our properties, they're like really cool and fun. And we like to get footage and everything. But this time it was going to be just me. And I had it scheduled for that Friday. So we were going to close remote on Monday. I was going to fly out Friday, get the keys, get to connect with the property manager, all that fun stuff. Well, turns out today, we won't be able to have you close until the 28th.
Yeah, that's our drama.
And that's our drama. So I have flights, hotel, cars, everything booked for the 26th. And we're not closing until the 28th. Isn't that awesome?
I know. I mean, that really sucks. But lesson learned, we're still navigating. I think this is still going to have a positive outcome. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a challenge in real estate. And then also we're learning a lot about working in a southern state. And also with our lender, and things move slow. And sometimes things are not done, in the time frame that they give you at first.
Right.
Yeah.
But the good part is when this is all said and done, we will be adding another property, adding more cash flow, more passive income. So that's what it's really all about, man. Just do the work on the front end, the hard or frustrating work on the front end, and then you can kind of sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor. So
right. So that's
where we're at, man.
That's our drama. And it's not, I wouldn't even really call it drama.
Right.
This is like boring people drama.
Yeah.
But
you know y'all family, so we're gonna let y'all in on what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shire, any other?
Yeah, I think that this has been a good conversation. And I think that going back to the topic, I think that Juneteenth as a federal holiday is a positive thing. I think that we, as a people, we've come a long way.
Yes.
We've come so, so far. And I think that we have a lot to be thankful for, to be grateful for. And I hope that everyone enjoys their Juneteenth weekend.
Yes. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out, checking out the live podcast on Instagram. And man, that's all for now. Till next time, holla at you later.
Bye. Peace.